I'm talking about waiting on God successfully. Waiting on God successfully. Sometimes I'm waiting on God, but it's not working very good. I'm talking about just a few things. I want to share some principles this morning. Now, waiting in general is not really a strong personality trait for a lot of us. Do I have any company in the house at all? Yeah, I think sometimes when they call people that go to the doctor's offices, patients, you know, there's two ways to spell patience, right? The patients are outside, and you better have some patience because it may take you a while to get inside, all that stuff. Waiting in general like this. Now, many of you men who have wives may have that area of waiting tested regularly. I'm just looking if I have any bold enough men to even nod when your wife's not looking. Don't make it worse here, but I'm just saying. Now, I understand it generally takes a little longer for a woman to do her hair and put on her face. My wife's gorgeous whether her hair's did or not, whether her hair's done, face is on. I'm glad for that. But and there's something to be learned sometimes, guys, besides just learning to wait. You know, you might even, while you're needing to leave, but you might want to find something useful to do. Like help her with the kids, getting them ready. Hello, wives. You ought to get an amen on that. Give an amen on that. But while you're waiting for her, there's maybe some other useful things you can do, like wash the car, mow the lawn, a few things while you're getting ready for her to... Okay, I'm moving on. I know this isn't going well, so let me shift. And I heard a story of the woman whose husband was impatiently waiting at the car. And when she finally appeared at the door, she had a wonderful idea, and she suggested to him, "Excuse me, but let's trade places. I'll sit in the car and honk the horn. You come in here and finish getting the kids ready." Amen. Just don't try that, guys. Do what you can do to help, all that. More seriously, the roles are maybe reversed in your house. You may live with a chronically late husband. I don't mean he's deceased. I'm talking about late, just tardy. Maybe it's like that, chronically late. Maybe you're single and you're tired of waiting on your own self to get ready. I don't know. There's all kinds of challenges in this waiting area. Now, I'm not going to speak this morning how to be more punctual and how to hurry up your time. I'm not talking about that. The subject of waiting can relate to a lot more areas of our lives, though. Since I just mentioned singles, let me speak again to you who are singles. And maybe waiting on God for the right potential spouse. Can I tell you, I understand that can be extremely challenging and frustrating. You're waiting on God's selection and all that. A side note, though, to help and encourage you in your waiting, it's much better to wait than to jump ahead and be hooked up with the wrong one. I need one amen from singles in here. I've seen that way too many times. And now those of you that are married, if you're married, I do want you to understand this. It's God's will for your marriage to work. God wants to get involved in that mix. And maybe you're waiting on God to change a spouse and they're waiting on God to change you. And it's just kind of back and forth. But there's some character, some things, some principles that I want to share this morning about waiting on God. Maybe some of you, it's not marriage related or relationship related at all. Maybe it's on a job situation. You're not where you want to be. You're not doing what you want to be doing. But you're feeling stuck in this waiting mode. How do I do that? Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's your living arrangement, the house that you're in or the apartment that you're in. I'm waiting. I need to change something there. How do I wait on God there? Maybe what you're driving or what you're not driving or you're walking everywhere. It's waiting on something else. For some of you, it's waiting concerning a ministry area. What area would the Lord have you serve in or be involved with? For those that can come back tonight at 6:30, we'll worship and then have a discussion time about finding our place in God. That's tonight. It may be waiting on God to move again in areas that feel out of your control, your adult kids, your parents, other circumstances. I want to look at four things that maybe will help us out in our waiting on God. How can we do that successfully? Number one, in our waiting, don't be driven out of the will of God. Whatever area that you're waiting in that can help produce frustration and anxiousness and all that, don't be driven out of the will of God. I heard a statement made by a guy in frustration. He said something like this: I've just got to do something, even if it's wrong. And that person that said that, they weren't referring to going out and doing something sinful, but what was being demonstrated in their lives, they were letting frustration push them. And it did push them out of the will of God, took a detour and some hardships that came unnecessarily. And I want to share a scripture with you. And this is really a command that Jesus gave. And the context was in reference to a difficult and trying time which would come to believers. It's Luke 21, verse 19. Real simple statement, six words. And you can read those with me if you will. By your patience, possess your souls. Do that one more time with me. By your patience, possess your souls. Patience, let me define three words there. Patience is another word, and the New Testament was written originally in the Greek language, so it's expanded meanings. The word that's translated patience, it really means steadfastness and constancy and endurance. By your steadfastness, constancy, and your endurance, possess is the opposite of lose, let go, possess your souls, because we're not really talking about just a spiritual dynamic here. Jesus, I believe, is talking about something a lot more just right where we're living right now. Souls is from a Greek word, psuche. The root word is where we get the word I started to say psycho. I guess we get that from it too. But psychological, everything that's founded that way. Reference is to that soulish part of us. Some have defined the soul as the mind, will, and emotions, the memory and the imagination. Let's look at this again. Jesus' commandment, in steadfastness, constancy, and endurance, possess, don't lose, your soulish realm. Three parts that make up each of us as individuals: spirit, soul, and body. One verse to reference that, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Impatience possess your emotions. Impatience possess your will, your mind, your imagination. The Bible teaches us that as believers, we're to be spirit-led. Can I hear an amen there? Holy Spirit-led, not soulishly led or emotion-led. Not feelings led. It doesn't mean that we're to live without our free will or our intellect even. The Bible speaks again about renewing our minds, not removing our minds. So keep your brain intact. Somebody look over there at somebody next to you and say, he's talking to you. Keep your brain intact. Don't let it go. Take hold of that. But in our ability to possess or reign in our souls, it's largely dependent on us learning to live in and by the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Again, don't be emotionally driven out of the will of God, but be Spirit-led in the will of God, even during waiting times. Waiting on God successfully. Hebrews 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Same Greek word that's translated patience. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In our waiting on God, it may yet be that he is waiting on us at the same time. I'm just going to suggest that out there, lay that out, submit it to you this morning. After we have done the will of God, then we may receive the promise. Are there things that you need to be doing right now relative to where you sense the will of God is leading you? Some of you are seeking to do that. Maybe it's in an educational realm. Maybe it's in a devotional realm. You're studying after some ministry things, or you're just a student of the Word, and you're going, keep doing. Let me say this before I go to the next point. Keep doing what you know to be the will of God while you're waiting. Is that okay? That will help us to wait successfully. Keep doing what we know is the will of God. Number two is to celebrate the small things. In our waiting on God, in less than ideal circumstances even, we need to learn to celebrate the small things. It helps us to do that. You don't have to necessarily throw a party for every little thing that happens. But the truth is that if we wait on whatever the big thing is in God that we're waiting on God for, if we wait until that happens before we enjoy living, we can get seriously stuck. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. As one spoke on Wednesday evening, so precious, during worship. And again, reiterating that God wants to do transactions with us during worship times. Please don't come and just disconnect and during worship and say, well, I wish they wouldn't sing that song, or they're singing it too long, or something else is going on. Don't disconnect, but connect up with God very intentionally. During worship on this last Wednesday evening, one of the young ladies stood at our Brag on God time that we have normally after worship on Wednesdays. And that God was really opening the eyes of her heart at that time. And it was, again, so precious. It was so real to her, and she was so sensitive to it right then. Her observation was, it's so easy to focus on what we lack or what's missing in our lives or what we've lost rather than opening our eyes. And then realizing, as she shared, I have a roof over my head. I've got a bed to sleep in. I've got people who love me. Begin to celebrate those things. Are you with me this morning? Stay with me a few more minutes, if you will. Because a wrong perspective, as she mentioned, I think that not a wrong perspective can cause us to act like spoiled brats spiritually. Yeah, you adultize it. You don't throw, you know, usually throw yourself down on the ground kicking and screaming. We do it in other ways. But listen. Learn to celebrate the small things. Learn to enjoy the small things, even in our waiting seasons for something else to happen in God. Zechariah 4, verse 10, the first part of that verse, do not despise these small beginnings. Do not despise these small beginnings. We can be thankful. Develop an attitude of gratitude even while you're waiting. Even while I'm waiting. It does not seem to most Americans that gratitude is natural. It's almost something that has to be cultivated. Develop an attitude of gratitude before God, even while we're waiting. If you're struggling in your marriage, be thankful when you have a pleasant event happen. When you have a good day. When you have, somebody say, well, that's too long. You have a good part of the day, a little piece of the day. You had a good conversation. Celebrate. Somebody say celebrate. Just I'm talking about even in the smaller things, on the job, find something of value that you can celebrate and thank God in the midst of, in our waiting times. Are we together? If you get a point, then I'm going to move on. You got it? Number three, moving on. Embrace what God is wanting to do in the now season. Even though I'm waiting on God, God, I believe for this and this, and I believe your word has promised me this, and I'm waiting, and listen, embrace what God's wanting to do in the now time, though. I've thought this before at different seasons and difficult seasons. Lord, help me hurry and learn whatever it is I'm supposed to learn during this time, because I want to hurry and get out of this season. Are you with me? Y'all have that same feeling sometimes. It's sort of like I'm here. Let me go ahead and take care of whatever it is I'm supposed to, because I want to move on. Now, at my age and at my physical condition, I do understand, and I'd read that joke or reference a long time ago, but when you bend over to pick something up and you're at this position, you're saying, while I'm down here, is there anything else I can get? It's just easier to, while I'm in this season, can I just go ahead and pick up whatever it is I need to pick up while I'm here? What's God wanting to do in my now season? And the truth is, sometimes we're so busy looking for what we're waiting for that we may be neglecting to receive what God's wanting to do right now in our now time. The truth is that God will work, can work, even beyond adversity that you may be in right now, to produce something in us or through us for His glory. It's amazing how sometimes having gone through certain things makes us a lot more sensitive and compassionate toward others. That we used to not have that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Having been through some stuff, now I can relate a lot better to that person who's been through that. Even through the adverse times that God was preparing for some other things, in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and the nation of Israel are going through some horrible things. Much of it was due to Israel's rebellion against God. But God still gives hope. Here, Becky, would you slip back up? I'm going to close in the next hour and a half, and I need you up here. I'm playing. I'm getting close to closing. Lamentations, small book of the Bible, most believe was written by the prophet Jeremiah, relating to this. Lamentations 3, verse 21, he says, after he bemoans a lot of things that are happening, and he said, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. My hope is in you, Lord. Therefore I have hope. This I call to mind." Sometimes my first line of defense, when my computer in my office gets messed up and it won't do stuff that I know it's supposed to be doing, or my iPhone messes up, what do y'all usually do in that? Let me ask you first. What do? Reboot. Turn it off. Let it restart, reconfigure what it needs to do. Can I tell you, when I read that word recall and I looked up what's it mean from the Hebrew and stuff like that, the Hebrew said reboot. No, I'm kidding. It didn't say that. But that's what I saw, because that's where we are. Some of us need to reboot. Man, I got this, I'm doing this stuff and things aren't working right and people around me are not working right and all this stuff. But then I recall, wait a minute, I need to reboot. I need to get a fresh start up here. And it may not be anything external that changes. Turn it off. God, reboot my thinking. Jeremiah says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." Isn't it good when it comes back on and you can get your emails again and you can get all your messages again and woo, reboot it and there it is. Call to mind, refresh, reboot. Verse 22, Lamentations chapter 3 still. "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Great is your faithfulness. I'm not going to try to sing that. But that song hymn that comes from that. Verse 24, "I say to myself," in your rebooting process, you may need to say some stuff to yourself. Jeremiah says, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion." It doesn't mean, you remember when you're in school cafeteria, give you a little portion in your little compartment of your tray? I'm a big boy. I want more than one portion. It doesn't mean the Lord is my little helping. It means the Lord is my inheritance. The Lord is my portion. Yeah. The Lord, I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. That word hope, it means an expectancy of the Lord. Whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Verse 26, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Quietly means be silent. For an extension of where it would relate to me, it would mean abstain from complaining. Hope in God. Wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And fourthly, the last thing that I want to share about this is to make the exchange. In our waiting on God, there's an exchange process that needs to happen. Let me share this familiar scripture with you. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 28, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." If you read the context, it's talking about idols and the other things that you can seek after and say, wait a minute, but know about the real God, the Most High God. This is who he is. Verse 29, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall." Let me pause there a minute, because I used to read that and it looks like Well, so there's a prophetic word that all the young are going to backslide and fall. And no, I don't believe this is what is being spoken at all. I don't believe it's a simple prophetic spiritual declaration that the youth will fail, they'll backslide. But I believe that God is making a contrast and a comparison through the prophet Isaiah, that in even our natural human abilities, there are real limitations. Because those two words that are used there in verse 30, even the youth grow tired and weary, that's from infancy to adolescence. That word means that age range. And the young men shall fall. The young, that's referring to the select, usually chosen for a specific, maybe hazardous task or dangerous, even military assignment, like the Navy SEALs. Even those have a place of limitation, a place of literally what it says, stumble and fall. It means tottering or wavering, fainting or falling, trusting in our own abilities or our own strengths, no matter how good those are, will result in fainting and falling. Can I have one amen right there if you know what I'm talking about? Our own abilities. But the statement in verse 30 isn't the end of that thought or sentence. The sentence doesn't end there. Even youth grow tired and weary, young men stumble and fall. Verse 31, but, somebody say but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. You see the reverse of what it was just saying in 30, depending on ourselves. Wait on the Lord. That word from the Hebrew, it means to look for, to hope, to expect. And I don't know if you walked in here this morning and your hope meter, if you had a gauge that registered it, it would show on empty or in the red or below empty. Hope, what's that about? But those that wait on the Lord shall renew. The word renew means to change or substitute or change for the better. There's an exchange that needs to take place with us. Those that wait on the Lord, I need to exchange my strength or really my weakness for His strength. Are you with me this morning? Mere religion says do the best you can do. Depend on your human effort and your self-discipline and your strong, dogged determination. But God's way is come to Jesus, admitting our inabilities in ourselves, realizing our own sinfulness, our natural inclination to be independent from Him, realizing those things when the light comes on, repenting of those, letting Him release us into a desire to turn from what's sinful and against His will and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing and His power. It's only in that position that we're really in a shape to begin to wait on God successfully. As I close, I want to use one illustration. Lamont, why don't you slip back up here? Where you at? Can you hurry? Yeah, run. I'm not going to put a microphone in your hand. I need you to help me with illustration. He said, I already talked once about kill me. I'm not talking again. We shared before church. Just hang out up here. Looking good. All right. Just kind of smile. Look good. You're looking good. All right. Here's kind of, this is us. When it says, go back to verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord. One of the definitions, again from the Hebrew of that word wait, it means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. Can y'all kind of see this red yarn here? This represents my strength. Represents your strength. Now, I don't know. I hadn't tried this, but I'm thinking, can I break this? Oh, yeah. My strength under pressure. Some of you probably at this point in this week, you said, yeah, right there. That was me. Frazzled on both ends. Just hanging out. Those that wait on the Lord to bind together, perhaps it's by twisting. Lamont, I want you to hold this. Let this, just hold that up. Hold that up over your head. If those that wait on the Lord This is me and you. Wait on the Lord. Renew their strength. Those that wait on the Lord. If waiting means to bind myself together, maybe even by twisting. What if I let my life get twisted up and wrapped up right here? This representing the strength of God, the promises of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of the living God. If I do this, you see that? Now you go ahead and hold that pretty tight. You see what's happening to my strength? It's all wrapped up in His. Can I tell you, waiting on God becomes a whole lot more simple when I'm in this position right there. Thank you, my friend, my brother. Amen. Give Him appreciation for helping us with that. Listen, I'm so serious about that. Some of you that are waiting on God and you're saying, I'm so stressed, and you've been that frazzled, frayed, pulled apart thing. Today is the day of wrapping it up back around the Lord. And not just our desires of whatever needs to happen that we feel like in the future, but really our lives bound up together around Him. Let me tell one brief story in closing. Is years ago I'd read a preacher's writings. He's already gone to be with the Lord, a mighty man in God. But in his writings, he was writing of an event that took place, I guess it was the early 1900s. How many know what a dirigible is? How many know what a blimp is? More people know what a blimp is. Sort of similar. In the early 1900s, dirigibles, some were hard. They looked like blimps. Some of them had a structure on the inside filled with helium. The story that this preacher, minister told, related, he said that one was about, and they were used for passenger, they were trying to be developed for passenger travel. Hindenburg, great explosion, all that, the loss of life with that. But he said that they were holding, men were stationed all the way around, a huge airship, and I forgot the dimensions, but huge. Men stationed all the way around, and due to the wind or whatever, men that were holding it down with ropes, all of a sudden, it began to break loose and lift. And some of the men quickly let go of the ropes that were holding this. You'd see it as a huge blimp holding that down. Some quickly let go, and some held on. And then in panic, they were so high up, they fell and plummeted to their deaths. But one man was able to hold on, and in his holding on, some way he positioned himself where he could wrap the rope around him, tie himself until it could get to its conclusion. What I'm trying to say is sometimes our waiting puts us like we're in a panic mode. You know, I got to do something even if it's wrong. And you let go of the rope. Some others are in a different position. Listen, I'd rather wrap myself around the promises of God and the truths of God even in my waiting, and then I will see a different view. And I'm not sure how this thing's going to land and what's going to work out, but I've got confidence in who I serve. Amen. And you do too. And in your waiting, do not despair. As a child of God, don't be discouraged in your waiting time. And this might be in the middle of it. You might be on the front end of this waiting. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I forgot I had one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Apostle Paul was in a time of trouble in his life. If you can just put that up. And he prayed, the Bible says he prayed 3 times. Lord, deal with this thing, this messenger of Satan, this enemy, this demonic spirit that's on assignment against me. And Jesus said to Paul, and I believe he says it to us, read that part with me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we can stop there, wrapping ourselves around His strength that's made perfect when my dependence is released to Him. Would you close your eyes here this morning? Father, thank you for the promise of your word, the impartation of your spirit. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those even that are here. Maybe the waiting on God to move thing has taken its toll on them. emotionally spent. Endurance seeming to be in an end, but I thank you, Lord, that you're not at the end of your endurance through us. I thank you, Lord, for a fresh empowerment of your presence for those weary saints in here today. That you're the God of hope, and we will stir ourselves up and we'll speak to ourselves, Lord, that you're the God of every circumstance and bigger than every circumstance. God of our days, God of our nights, you're sovereign still. Thank you for that, oh God. Thank you for that, oh God. And there may be those in this room while your eyes are still closed, you've not yet received Jesus yet. I really want you to understand there's one thing that you don't need to wait on God for, and that's that, coming to a relationship with him. Because he said today is the day of salvation. The Bible says if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. While your eyes are still closed, prayer teams, would you come up, line up all the way across this front? Because I believe that today is a day of transition for some that are going to be so impacted. Number one, again, if you've not given ownership of your heart and life to Jesus, I'm not inviting you to join the church this morning. Not inviting you to even be baptized in water. We'll do that in, I think, about 2 weeks for those that have been born again, receive Jesus. But you that are here, apart from a relationship with Jesus, this morning is a day of surrendering heart and life to him. Two things he wants to do. Number one is forgive us of every sin. Wash our slate clean. Who would not want to walk out of this place with a clean slate? The wrongs I've done in my past, the wrongs that are hardwired into me. But that addresses the second part of what God wants to do. He said if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. That means that God comes on the inside of us by the power of his Spirit, and he rewires us spiritually. The Bible calls it being born again. Born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, where the life of God comes into us. Because we believe what Jesus did on the cross when he died and then when he rose again. He took the wrath of God that we deserved. He took it on himself. And if we would receive him, then we would come under his authority. We would receive forgiveness of sins and a new nature. That's not happened to you, but you said, I want to live this way. I want to let Jesus live in me. Before you do that, though, let me tell you, he'll change things. If you want to keep control, okay. Listen, he wants to change. He won't wrest control. He won't wrestle control from our hands. But he gives an opportunity for surrender. Free will. He's not busting into your world. The Bible says, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. That's where you are this morning. Father, while we worship you just for a moment again, if there are men and women or young people here, apart from you, Lord, I just pray you stir their hearts. Because it's not just that you show us our lostness, but at the same time, you're showing us the way in the wholeness. Thank you for doing that. And for those here that used to walk with you, maybe for whatever reason turned away and walked away or ran away, that this day would be a day of restoration again, starting freshly. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful atmosphere that your love is poured out in. With your eyes closed, if you're here this morning, fit into that category. I want to receive Jesus. I want to start brand new with him. Would you slip your hand up to where I can see you and acknowledge that? Thank you, sir. Some more that would just stick your hand up when I see you and acknowledge it, then you put it back down. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. See, I believe that God's taking note right here. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am, back there. Oh, God, I thank you. No more waiting. No more trying to do life on our own, the broken yarn, but yet wrapped up together in him. Glory to God. I ask you to do one more thing. I want all the church, would everybody stand up? Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have raised your hand and didn't, it's okay. While we worship God in this last song, would you slip out of where you are and come all the way across, men and women and young people up here, would you come and join with them? Take that next step. You said, yes, I acknowledge this is what God's wanting to do in me. Just slip out and come. If somebody's close to you, grab them. Say, go with me. Invite them to come with you. Let's worship God together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Your love is pure. Your
go ahead and come. It's all right. Maybe you're a believer here and you're saying, man, I've just stretched to the max. Again, the frayedness of my life. But I'm going to take hold of God in this new way. I'm going to let Him take hold of me, and I'm going to wrap this thing up. He's going to wrap me around His own strength. If you want to come, just come. Believers, those that are on the way right now to make new beginnings here, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe place. They're coming. Thank you for coming. Men and women, just be ready to receive folks as they're coming. And I'm going to pray with you. They're going to pray with you, over you, with you, agree with you for what God's plan and work is. This is a prayer. It's okay. Sing it. Here in your arms, I'll find my strength. I run to you, Lord, and that's what we do this morning. In our weakness, I run to you
when my heart is weak.
That's what we do today. And we exchange our weakness for your strength. Even with what you're going through this morning, would you lay hold of that?
To be close to you.
Yes, Lord.
Here in your arms, I'll find my strength.
Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Can we go ahead and worship at that exchange of strength? We need that power.